Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of Let's Get Local. Jason Aikman, your host for the local radio show, talking about local stories, local businesses, organizations, initiatives, events, and just kind of keeping you posted on what makes Madison, our Madison area, so unique and special each and every week by giving opportunities to people to tell their stories, their passions, and what they do and what they can do for you right here in our community. So we're looking forward to a great show today. We have some wonderful guests, some old friends we get to catch up with, including our first guest. But we have to thank again Solidarity Realty for sponsoring the studios here, Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, right on University Ave in this snowy day. Snow coming at you here throughout the day, but it's a good time to sit back and catch up with some local people. Our first guest is Phil Frank from Budget Signs and Specialties. Maybe you guessed it from the opening song. Phil, it's been a little while since we've talked, but glad to catch up with you again. How are you today?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason.
Tell us a little bit, Phil. What's been happening? Budget Signs and Specialties, such a great business here for such a long time in the Madison area. How are things going for you right now?
They're going really well. We're locally owned, independent, been around for 35 years, and we specialize in wide format digital printing. We also do, apparel, engraving and awards, specialty items like, you know, giveaway keychains and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah.
So Phil and Budget Specialties and Signs, or Signs and Specialties, is such a wonderful business. A great Dane by Local member too, Phil. It's been important for you guys. You guys have been connected to the group Dane by Local for a long time. How have you found that to be beneficial to the business, and why do you keep coming back?
It's great. Every dollar you spend in your local community is just really helps the local economy. And I always try to purchase and, you know, buy things from local businesses whenever I can. And that's especially important these days when there's so many gigantic, like Amazon and all those big places like that.
One thing I've seen for local businesses too, as we're talking with Phil Frank of Budget Signs and Specialties, the website is budgetsignsmadison.com. Budgetsignsmadison.com is kind of with COVID, with everything else, with shortages on items and pieces, the more locally sourced you could be, the more control you had, right, Phil? And so that's, I think, a benefit to local businesses to connect that way, to find local vendors and partners, because it's a lot easier to get what you need if you're working with someone close by.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of those, like online places, you know, sometimes people can, you know, buy banners for really cheap or something online. But whatever art you submit, they're just going to say, well, that's what you submitted. Well, going to us, the advantage is we have a full-time graphic designer on staff. We will let you know, send you screenshots if your art's not going to look the best when it's blown up and things like that. So, and then if there is, in the small chance something happens, we can fix it right away.
Yeah, I've heard that about you. You're very prompt in dealing with situations, correcting things, helping people out. That customer service is something I find all the time. Lots of people glowing reviews about Budget Signs and Specialties for that, Phil, including one old story. I don't know if you know this story. You probably have heard it, but the Colin Murray story about, I think there was awards that need to be created at for some event long ago, and something happened with it, and somehow you got everything done in time, even though things went awry, and you hand delivered these awards to the recipient just in time.
Yeah. That's the kind of service we like to offer. I always try to put myself in the customer's shoes. We don't miss deadlines. If you need something done by a specific date, we make sure it happens.
We're talking with Phil Frank over at Budget Signs and Specialties this morning. Again, the website is budgetsignsmadison.com. Phil, tell us a little bit about the background of your business. How did this get started? I mean, how did you get into this? Why did you decide to create your own business and specifically doing the work that you do?
Yeah, well, my husband, Mark Pocan, actually started it 35 years ago. And a lot of people don't know this, but we're actually a union shop. So you can be confident that when you buy a banner or, t-shirts or, you know, engraving and awards, you can know that the people who produced it are making a living wage and everyone's treated with dignity and respect.
I absolutely love that. And such a great story. Now, when you have a business locally that's gone through decades of operation, obviously things change substantially, right? So, Phil, tell us a little bit about how you've been able to kind of keep up and evolve and currently serve people with the tools and resources you have now.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, during COVID, a lot of our friendly competitors didn't make it. And we think it's because, you know, we offer such a diverse, such a wide variety of different items that we were able to weather the storm. I'm not saying it hasn't been easy. Staff shortages are a real thing with small businesses, especially now. But throughout the whole time, we've just really strived to keep the same level of customer service that we've been able to provide for many years.
We're talking with Phil Frank over at Budget Signs and Specialties. Again, the website, budgetsignsmadison.com. Phil, tell people a little bit about the experience. We've talked a lot about the customer service, and we've heard stories about it. You obviously prioritize it. But tell people a little bit about the experience. If they want to work with you on a project, what is that experience like for them, and what's the process like?
We understand that, you don't order banners every day, right? And so I think education is the main thing with us, guiding people through the process, being very clear about like what kind of files we need. If they're not sure, just send over what they have. And, I'll have my designer check them out and let you know if it's going to look good. If there's any question whatsoever, as far as like pixelation or something like that, we go above and beyond by sending screenshots, because, our version of, this is going to look good may not be, up to, someone else's standards or vice versa. So we just try to make sure that there are no surprises, that we're educating the customer from the beginning to the end. I usually lay out the whole process, once we know this, this is what we'll do. And then once you approve that, this is what we'll do, and just so on and so forth. And I feel like that's really helpful for folks, because I do put myself in their shoes, and I'm not going to just be like, you should know what this is about,
It's nice when you're working on something like you mentioned. I mean, most of us, we don't order banners every day, or we don't order awards every day, or the number of things that you can create at your shop. And there's a wide range of things like you mentioned. So you need to kind of lean on an expert for help in those cases, because we don't know everything. And so it's really nice to have a person and people that you can lean on and talk to directly and have that direct communication with, whether it's face-to-face, over the phone, email, or whatever preferred format you prefer as a customer. So that is fantastic. I absolutely love the process. Phil, you're a small business owner. You and Mark are, and you work with a lot of small business owners. What does that mean to you to know that you can help provide a valuable service to other small businesses?
Yeah, well, we not only, we not only will help anyone, whether it's for a, a baby shower, sign, but we're primarily business to business. About a third of our customers are nonprofits. So in the local community here, we also do a lot of, shipping nationally. Being a union shop, there's not a whole lot of us. So a lot of times we'll be shipping things, all over the country.
Tell us a little bit more about the union shop. Like, what's the difference there, and how does that work? What does that mean?
It means that everything you order from us was produced by someone who's a member of IUPAT, which is the Painters Union, and we are Local 770. And what that means is that that they are making a living wage. They have healthcare, paid vacation, all that good stuff. We understand that everyone who works for us has a life, and it's really important that they feel valued and a key part of our team.
We're talking with Phil Frank over at Budget Signs and Specialties about the business, about the environment, and about how you can work with them to basically create whatever you would like. Again, the website is budgetsignsmadison.com, budgetsignsmadison.com. Phil, Right now, I know a lot of businesses have talked about volume and you know, trying to keep up. Where are you now? If someone approached you today and said, I wanted to get started on a project, what's kind of the timeline for them to make sure that they're asking with enough lead time to get the items they need in time?
Yeah. Well, we have gotten very busy, which is not what I expected. And I don't know if that's because we've kind of weathered the storm and now, you know, folks are bringing business to us. Usually you'll get a response within a day. And usually we can send a proof with, once we know the size and what you're looking for, we can usually send you a proof within a day. And for most items, we can have them printed and ready for pickup within a day or two, with a couple exceptions. Like if we have to order in a special acrylic award, you know, sometimes that takes a couple days, but we always try to expedite the process by once we order the award, while we're waiting for it, then we'll work on proofs and everything like that. So it's so when it arrives, we're ready to engrave it and say, hey, it looks great. It's ready for pickup.
That is Phil Frank over at Budget Signs and Specialties. Again, the website, budgetsignsmadison.com. Phil, thanks for being a great local business, running that, working with other organizations and those nonprofit groups too. So important to do that work. And thanks for being a Dame by Local member. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate it.
That is Phil Frank over at Budget Signs and Specialties. Again, check them out at budgetsignsmadison.com. Budget Signs. Madison.com. More show ahead, and we thank our sponsors for the program today. We also thank again Darcy and Solidarity Realty from the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison on University Ave. This is Let's Get Local. Be back in a bit.
My Gucci on, I go wear my Louis Vuitton,
or will I wear
even with nothing on, but I made you look,
I made you look,
I'll make you double take soon as I walk away.
Back here at Devil Radio in Madison, Wisconsin, part of the Civic Media Radio Network, the Devil Radio Studios on University Ave, Solidarity Realty Studios, actually. Thanks, Darcy and team. We also have to thank all of our wonderful other sponsors for the program, and we will get to that here this hour with more things ahead and some great conversation, of course. One of our sponsors, we got a chance to catch up with them today. Maybe you've been hearing the commercials on the station this week about the big winter sale over at Ula Eyewear. And man, it's really great to talk to you about it now because it's happening now. It's happening today. It started Thursday, goes through Sunday, and let's learn more about the big winter sale at Ula Eyewear. Margo, it's first time talking to you on Let's Get Local. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's tell people a little bit about you. You've been with the company here for a while. Tell people about your background and why you're with Ula Eyewear.
Sure. Yeah, so I've been with Ula. It will be 12 years next month in February. I'm our sales manager, so if you've been in the store, you've probably seen me. I'm on the floor all the time, directing the staff, working with customers, which is the best part of the job. So come on down. I'd love to meet you.
So Ula Eyewear here at Hilldale Shopping Center in Madison. For people who are unfamiliar, Margo, how would you describe Ula Eyewear?
I would describe Ula Eyewear as a local women-owned business. Our focus is on finding folks a great frame and boosting your confidence. We're known for high-end independent eyewear, which directly translates to quality of product. And I think what we're best known for is our ability to, you know, help you around the store, find something that's great for you, something that makes you feel good, and have a good time while we're doing it.
Now, Margo, customer service, too, is something I know that is a big piece of the business here at Ula Eyewear. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they come in.
Sure. So, I mean, you can definitely start by expecting to see a friendly face here in the store. We love to work with you, find out what you like, what you don't like, and help guide you to finding the perfect pair of glasses, no matter their use, sunglasses to protect your eyes, and recommend lenses that are going to be perfect not only for your prescription, but for your budget and your lifestyle.
Now, Margo, I'm getting to the point I'm going to need readers here. Mm-hmm. So you guys have those too, right?
We do. We can make them prescription, but we also have ready-made here for you too.
All right. Let's talk about this big sale that's happening now. There's only a couple days left, Margo. Tell people about the big sale.
Yeah. So we're already halfway through. So we have today and tomorrow for our annual winter sale. We do our winter and our summer, and it just helps us kind of move some of our favorite product from the last 6 months, make way for some new things here in the store. You can enjoy 15 to 50% off every frame here in the store and 40% off lenses if you're considering more than one.
Well, let's talk about that, because I know a lot of us here, if you have vision challenges in your family and you have children, unfortunately, those kids might have the same bill that you got, right? So they might need glasses. So if people do need more than one pair, there's some added benefit during the sale.
Yeah, absolutely. So not only can you save 40% on your second or more, if you're interested, pair of glasses, but the discounts just continue to stack. So a frame that is 30%, if you're considering buying two, it's now 40. If you're considering buying three, it's now 50. We're going to have hundreds of frames here in the store on sale, and we'd love to help you find the right one.
For this sale, this is while supplies last, correct?
Yeah, great question. So it is for everything that we physically have here in the store. We generally have one of everything, so it's a first come, first serve. So get on in here.
And if I'm coming in and I haven't been to Ula before and I want to find the right pair of glasses for me, how do you work with a customer on that to find the right frames for them? What's the process like for that?
Yeah, so it tends to be a little bit of like a Q&A. You know, we want to know you beyond just a frame on your face, you know, which I know sounds kind of cheesy, but, you know, we like to know what you like, what you don't like. I mean, about not just glasses, but, you know, how do you spend your day? What does... what are your hobbies? How much time do you spend outside? And we sort of use all of those things along with considering your face shape and your coloring and your eye color and, I don't know, even, you know, maybe the size of your head. And, you know, kind of tailor all of that, guide you around the store and show you things where you can feel confident that you're going to look at a selection of frames that fit and you don't just have to do the legwork yourself.
We're talking to Margo here from Ula Eyewear. Again, the website is ulaeyewear.com. The big sale is now. It's today and tomorrow it ends. And Margo, if people come in, we've got hundreds of frames to sell. We've got opportunities here for them to save big and also just kind of get a new look, right? Isn't that what About Eyewear is sometimes? Just getting that fresh look. Maybe that gives you a new vote of confidence too, if you're looking for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, even a slight color change or, you know, trying a new shape, pushing yourself a little bit or not, if that doesn't feel like you. But the sale is often a great time to maybe pick up something that you wouldn't have normally considered. And give yourself a little bit of confidence right now while we're looking for that sun.
I do love that too, the fact that you take into consideration so much of what that customer wants. So you're not just pushing, you know, them to go for a new pair because you want them to go in a certain direction. You take the time, find out what they want, and then find the right match. And it seems like that's what the team here is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it really doesn't do us any good to just slap a frame on the face. It's really about finding you the perfect one. You know, if we rush the process, you'll eventually find out. So let's take our time and let's do it right.
All right. People need to come in. What are the hours here Saturday and Sunday for the big sale?
Yeah, we are open 10 to 8 on Saturday and 11 to 6 on Sunday. We'll be here the whole time. We're excited to meet you.
Perfect. Margo, thanks for your time. Thanks for telling people about Ula Eyewear and the big sale. You have until tomorrow. That's it. And then the sale is gone. Go to ulaeyewear.com. Find them at Hilldale Shopping Center. Oh, one last thing, Margo, before I let you go. People have to come in for the sale, right? They cannot purchase these things online for the sale.
That's a great question. We do not have the ability to purchase online, but if you have something notated in your file or know what you want, give us a call. We'll answer the phone or a text message, and we're happy to try to help you over the phone if that's easier.
Customer service here at Ula Eyewear. Thanks so much, Margo.
Thank you.
at ulaeyewear.com. You can find out more. One quick correction on that. The store hours today until 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Head over to Ula Eyewear. Take advantage of the big winter sale going on through tomorrow. We'll be back on the other side with more. Let's Get Local. Welcome back. Jason Aitman here on Let's Get Local. For the second half of the program, we've got some fun ahead and some learning ahead. Some really good conversation coming at you, too. Before we get to that, we do have to thank our sponsors for the program. Again, so many people invest locally by connecting, by shopping locally, by doing business to business locally, sourcing locally, like you heard with Budget Signs and Specialties early in the program and some of our other partners. And these specific companies and organizations have invested in this program, which helped tell all local stories every single week. So again, thank you to Evolution Financial, SUPEC, evolutionfinplan.com. You can check her out. Easy Office Products, Gary and Rose Moles over at Easy Office Products, easyop.com. They'll deliver to your home office, to your office, to anywhere you are in the area. They are fantastic and easy ordering from them as well. Goes along with the name. Ula Eyewear, we heard from Margo, the big sale going on today and tomorrow. Still, Ula Eyewear, one of our sponsors for the show. ulaeyewear.com to find out more about them, or you can check them out at Hilldale Shopping Center. Forward Thai Boxing, Abby and Brendan were on a couple weeks ago. We're going to do some fun things with them ahead. They have a Krav Maga class coming up on February 25th. It's an opportunity to come in, learn about self-defense through them at Forward Thai Boxing in a very easy space to work in, whether you have no experience or a bunch of experience. So again, Forward Thai Boxing. And then Sabrina Madison, who we talked with last week, and the Progress Center for Black Women. Sabrina's always up to something and always up to something good. Great to have her on board for the show this year in 2023. Now we get an opportunity to learn more about Madison Cooperative Development Coalition. And Charity Smith is with us here to talk to us about that. Charity, I appreciate so much, Charity Schmidt, about the work you're doing. I'm learning about it. Let's tell our audience about it. Please tell us about the coalition.
Sure. The Madison Cooperative Development Coalition is a project that has been funded through the city of Madison for the past 5 years. We're a coalition of cooperative developers like myself, business support organizations, and community-based organizations. So we provide technical assistance, which means I just help groups through the process of starting a cooperative. We provide a lot of education around the cooperative model. And then we provide grants and have a revolving loan fund. And I can get into more details about each of them. But that's probably a great intro to a place to start. And I could say, too, that I am actually employed at the UW Center for Cooperatives. So this is like a project that I'm funded to kind of direct via the center. And the center is a great resource, both in the state, across the state, and nationally. They do education, direct technical assistance to all different kinds of co-ops, and research nationally around cooperatives.
Sounds like a lot of incredible work, and there's a lot of work to do. We know we look at the situation here around Madison and just the country in general, but we're focusing on Madison here today with Madison Cooperative Development Coalition. The website to learn more is mcdcmadison.org, mcdcmadison.org, and you can find the co-ops there. It's I'm looking and learning more. There's so many areas, and I love some of the areas you're getting into specifically, Charity, with you're talking about really important things that are facing our population that you're helping with. Home health care, for example, one of the groups that you've helped as well. And we know how critical that is and how even much bigger of a deal it's going to be as the population ages. And also housing issues. I mean, these are really big issues for everyone in a community, touching you on some level, whether it's you're experiencing it directly or it's a friend or a family member or somebody you know and care about.
Yeah, and the other types of co-ops we work with are Nina Collective, which is a group of intersectional women that do racial equity consulting and trainings. Bookkeeping, because every business needs bookkeeping, right? So we really just try to get it across everywhere. One of the new co-ops that I'm really excited about is Madison Cycle Works. So they do mobile bike repair and also delivery by bike. So when we think about the environmental impacts of businesses. So yeah, we run across the gamut. And it might be worth mentioning, like defining a little bit what a worker cooperative is, because we're really familiar. I think everyone's familiar with consumer co-ops. So those are like grocery co-ops like Willie Street or Regent or credit unions. But in a worker co-op, it's the workers themselves that are the owners of the business, and they directly manage the business democratically through one member, one vote. And then they benefit directly from being owners of that business.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think that's something that you and I were talking about yesterday is there are a number of businesses, right, that people start, they turn into successful businesses, and then those initial owners don't necessarily have someone to pass the business to, or maybe whether it's a family member or what have you. But if you have a great business that's providing a wonderful service and is part of our community and the fabric of our community, it would be really sad to see that business go away. And this is an opportunity for some of those businesses to change a little bit, evolve, and stay in our communities.
Yeah, we call those cooperative conversions. So we're seeing that trend nationally where baby boomer business owners, you know, are looking to retire out. And it's not as common these days for the kids to take over the business if they had them. And so, you know, both here locally and nationally, there's a lot of resources to help people sell those businesses to the employees who are already running it, right? They already know how to run the business successfully. So that gives the owner an opportunity, to leave the business eventually. It gives the workers an opportunity to build capital and like democratically manage a business together. And it keeps important jobs and local services in our community. And I know from listening to your podcast, you know, you and your listeners really value that, like keeping local businesses local, keeping those dollars in our community to strengthen our cities. So,
yeah. And I look at it from an employee perspective too. You know, if you've worked at a place for quite a while and you really feel a part of it. I mean, if you're on board for 10 years more, you know, it's a situation where that's part of your life. I mean, you put a lot of time and energy and effort into this and it means a lot to you. And those are the type of people that, you know, you don't want to just pick up and go somewhere else because the business closed. Do I have an opportunity to stay involved and maybe even guide this business moving forward? And I think that's a wonderful opportunity. There's other important work you're doing too, like starting co-ops, like finding opportunities to lift up groups. So let's talk a little bit about more of those things too, where people are just starting out. You can help them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, Madison Cooperative Development Coalition, which I'll just say MCDC from now on.
That's fine.
A little
that's
easier.
Fair, yeah.
One of the things we do is provide grants up to $10,000 for groups who want to start cooperatives. And this is really important because it reduces those barriers to business startups, right? And we really want everyone in the community to have an opportunity to, you know, to manifest their dreams and start their businesses. So with those $10,000 startup grants, you know, they can use them for legal services. Every business is going to need to talk to an attorney, an accountant. Maybe it's paying someone to design your website, doing a marketing study, all those different things that every business needs to like really get off the ground. So we're really proud of that. Another thing that we do is provide grants to community-based organizations. And I really see this as key, absolutely key to the work we do, because it's community-based organizations that are embedded in the community. They know, you know, the needs and the possibilities. And, you know, we'll hear from Robert from Worker Justice Wisconsin, which is one of our community partners, probably a little later in the show, in the next segment. So, yeah, and we also work, one of the other community-based organizations that we're funding this year is MadWork, which is Madison Worker Co-ops. It's a peer-to-peer network. So new co-ops can really connect with and learn from people who have already been through this process, who have already started a co-op, who are part of a co-op now. And, you know, one of the exciting projects we're also supporting through MadWork is a class at Madison College, you know, to educate people around the worker cooperative model and then help them kind of in some of the steps they would need to start one. So we're really excited about that work, both with MadWork and Worker Justice Wisconsin.
The other part to the co-op idea and co-op model that I think is really important for just general consumers is this means these are now owners of the organization or business. They're heavily invested, and that's to you means you're probably going to experience a very high level of customer service from that organization because these are the people that are 100% bought into it.
Yep. Everyone has like skin in the game, right? So it really matters, and they're going to put more into that business. And also the more community support for that business, right? So the worker co-op world and Madison can really show up and support other businesses. We've doubled the number of worker co-ops in Madison in the last 5 years through this programming. So I want to say how important it is to have that like direct funding and support from the city of Madison and like building or strengthening the co-op ecosystem. We're seeing, you know, the impact of doing all that work for the past 5 years.
You mentioned Robert waiting in the virtual wings here from Worker Justice Wisconsin. We're going to hear his story here in a little bit. But Charity, the other thing that when I look at all the information on the website, again, the website is mcdcmadison.org, mcdcmadison.org. You know, this is heavily driven by equity, trying to create equitable economy, lift up people that have not had the same opportunities, right? And that's a key component and passion behind it.
Absolutely. Again, that's why the community-based organizations are so important. And we funded different ones throughout the years. So really doing education, you know, through those organizations that are really embedded in the community and doing work around building equity, you know, lifting up people who are in low-income jobs or communities who are, you know, facing unhealthy workplaces. That's why like building out a network and building the co-op ecosystem and working with community partners is critical to the work that we're doing.
Before we talk to Robert, anything else we need to touch on, Charity, before we bring Robert on the show?
No, I think just, you know, find your local worker cooperatives and support them. I'll update the website to make sure that we're promoting all the new co-ops that are really getting off the ground. And, you know, just find ways to support them, be patrons or spread the word, both for worker co-ops and for all the other type of co-ops that are out there.
You just spurred me on to something else we need to cover. So we will do this and then we'll come to Robert on the other side. But if people like the effort, want to support this, what are some of the best ways they can help out and get involved?
Well, connect with me via the website. My contact information is there. Whether it's you want to just know how to connect to these different groups or whether you yourself might be interested in starting a cooperative or if your current business owner is looking to retire out and you think you want to explore the idea of selling to your employees. So like having a conversation with me and figuring out how you can support co-ops by being a patron of a cooperative business.
Charity is not going anywhere. Let me just clarify that. She's going to hang with us here for the rest of the show. Robert's going to be on here just after the break. But again, just to remind you, what an incredible model, what a way to invest in community, what a way to strengthen our bonds in community as well. And at the same time, lifting up people in our community who haven't had the same opportunities. I absolutely love the work of Madison Cooperative Development Coalition and this initiative through the city. So the website, mcdcmadison.org, mcdcmadison.org. We will be back. We'll meet Robert from Worker Justice Wisconsin right after this. Back with Charity Schmidt, too. This is Let's Get Local.
keep on trying till I reach my highest ground. Lovers, keep on loving. Believers, keep on believing. Sleepers, just stop sleeping. Wasn't gonna be too long.
And we're back here for the final piece of Let's Get Local. Let's get right to it. We've got Charity Schmidt with us again from the Madison Coalition, Development Coalition here. And we also have Robert to meet and learn about Worker Justice Wisconsin. So, Robert, thanks for sitting through with us and telling us about your group and being on the show.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, Charity, thanks for having me on. I guess just a really quick intro. I'm the program director at Worker Justice Wisconsin. We are a worker center located here in Madison, Wisconsin. Worker centers are community organizations that have started to crop up in the U.S. in the last 30, 40 years. And, you know, we're here to assist, but also empower workers, often workers who don't have representation in the workplace in the form of a union. So we help them with all sorts of things, wage theft, discrimination, unsafe working conditions. But we also try to help empower workers, whether it's through the, you know, getting organized in their workplace, but also pursuing the option of a worker-owned co-op. And so we work pretty closely with MadWork, and it's been a great partnership so far. So that's just a little bit of an intro.
Oh, that's great, Robert, and really important work you're doing. And very needed in our community. Charity, talk a little bit about the relationship, right? The connection with MCDC and Worker Justice and how that all came together.
Yeah. So, I mean, it came together because the Worker Center, we're here to help all workers. But I think we've sort of developed a special relationship with the Spanish-speaking immigrant community. All of our organizers speak Spanish. Our executive director speaks Spanish fluently. And so we've really become, we try to be a resource for Spanish-speaking workers. And, you know, it's no surprise that the immigrant population is an especially vulnerable part of the working class. And so MCDC and us, we work together to try to make the idea of cooperativism and, accessible to this part of the community. I mean, it's tough to set up. As anyone who's set up a co-op knows, it's tough. There's a lot of moving parts, getting grants, getting funding, conducting, you know, local market research. There's a lot of hurdles that you need to jump through. And so language plays a huge barrier. If you're not from the United States, there's a lot of, you know, familiarity that you need to develop with local institutions and stuff like that. And so Worker Justice Wisconsin tries to be a close partner with MCDC so that this is not just you know, benefiting, you know, the white community here in Madison, but it's really is trying to make it as accessible as possible.
What an important point, and something you don't maybe think of if you're not in that situation, right? But the language barrier, communication, to be able to have understandable communication about what's available to you, what's possible, what you can do, what you need to do to make certain things happen is such a big issue in our country, in our community. And I love that you're helping with that and you have the resources for it.
Yeah, I mean, so we've done a lot this last year.
It's a big job. It sounds like a lot. Yeah,
it is. It's a process. It can take, you know, a year or longer to try to shepherd this through, and always trying to, you know, not just help workers through it, but also give them the tools and the equipment so that they can sort of eventually take complete ownership, because that's the idea, right? We want workers to sort of be their own bosses. To feel like they have, you know, the know-how and the confidence and the larger community support to do it. And so, you know, we're helping turn a, you know, Charity talked about conversion. There is a local food truck business that is looking to convert into a cooperative, an achievement. We're also working with some workers who we were helping organize at a local screen printing shop. They unionized their shop. And then some of them also decided that they wanted to create a screen printing co-op. And so there's sort of little coalition came together between us, MCDC, and a cooperative out in Milwaukee called Flora Cooperative. We're working with these workers to create their own screen printing co-op here in Madison. And again, you know, it's very important to have all of these different community actors. It really does take a village to build these sort of transformative businesses, right, where they're not only, you know, offering a good service or a good product, but in the process of doing it, you know, trying to transform lives, give folks a voice in the workplace that they might not ever have had before. And so it's a process. It's a team effort. You know, you can't do it alone.
We're talking with Robert with Wisconsin Worker Justice Wisconsin, and we'll talk to him a little bit more about the gravity of that and how far that reaches. In connection right now today, we're also discussing Madison Cooperative Development Coalition and their partnership. Robert, your title is Worker Justice Wisconsin, so, and you just mentioned Milwaukee. So you are working outside of the Madison area as well. Tell us about your work around the state.
Well, I mean, we do focus largely on Madison and Dane County. We're a small organization. I mean, eventually we would like to be, you know, to have a much larger reach across the state. But we seek partnerships, you know, as much as possible. We try to be strategic. And because these workers already had these skills, we sort of looked around and tried to find someone who's already done it, right? You don't want to try to start from ground zero. And so we sought out that partnership, Flora Cooperative. You know, they also do construction, they do cleaning, and they also do screen printing. They're a pretty, you know, unique ecosystem, I think, here in Wisconsin. And so we reached out to them, and they were super excited to do this project with us, again, with the idea of empowering immigrant workers to have far greater control over their working conditions than they've ever had before. But yeah, no, we're pretty Madison and Dane County focused, just because, you know, we're a small but dedicated team.
I'm not trying to push you outside to go too far yet, but I know you probably have visions of getting there one day, and we know the needs in our state, right? There are pockets of people that need assistance out there, and I'm sure you're setting a great model to hopefully grow into that. I would love to see that. We have a lot of work to do, right? I mean, let's just be real about it. As a community, as a state, we have a lot of work to do to support people in our community that are doing valuable services and providing valuable work to help things run and help things go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Charity can probably tell you a lot more, but Wisconsin has a long history of cooperativism, and it's definitely something that we want to continue because, I mean, it's, you know, we want people to have voices in the workplace. You know, we want, because as you said, you know, you spend a lot of your life there, big decisions are made there that affect you. And it can be really frustrating when you're not a part of those decisions. And a worker-owned co-op is sort of a democratization of work, right? Like one, you know, one vote, you're part of the conversation, no one's making decisions for you. And so it does bring a kind of freedom that you don't usually find in a typical workplace. And so, I would love to see this grow statewide, but one step at a time.
So if people are interested in helping assist your mission, Robert, how do they connect with you?
They can, you know, we have a website, workerjustice.org. You know, if folks want to come to the Worker Center, we offer trainings as well. We offer trainings in English and in Spanish. And we're always looking for folks. We're always looking for connections to take trainings out into the communities. It's, you know, people are busy. It's hard to make time to come out to the Worker Center, especially, you know, you got all these responsibilities, family, whatever. So if you're part of a church, if you're part of a local community organization, if you have sort of a captured audience and you think they would benefit from these ideas, feel free to reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to bring a training to where your folks are at. We can help start a co-op. We can help folks navigate some of the you know, initial grant application processes, like just get oriented to this ecosystem. Especially if folks work with a Spanish-speaking community, we can be a resource there as well. So just check us out on the website. And also, you know, if you just have workplace issues, like if the wage theft, if there's discrimination, if you feel like it's not a healthy work environment, we can help out with that as well. And a co-op is always an option. So you can check us out on the website as well.
That's this week's Let's Get Local. Get local, everybody.